This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The RealReal. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey, Roundtable Edition. I'm your host, Ruth Castle, and I'm glad you are here, whether you're tuning in at the moment of calm or right in the middle of chaos. This space was made for you. Today, I am joined here with an incredible group of single moms walking this road with grace. We're not here to be perfect. We're here to be real, raw, and rooted in love. And as always, I want you to know that you're not alone on this journey. This is your autism journey, and we're walking it together. Let's dive in. Ladies, I want to say thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for joining and opening up to the listeners today, because I feel like, you know, I want to give this platform people to be able to relate to. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts myself, and I haven't found one that's quite like this, where you get to hear different voices, different points of view, and I think it's totally needed. Because it can feel isolating and alone on our journeys. And being a single mother is hard enough without adding special needs into the mix. But when you add special needs into the mix, I think it's a whole lot more dynamic. So, and I think it's going to relate a lot to our listeners. So thank you again for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having
us. Thank you for having us.
Yes. So let's dive right into it, ladies. You're doing it alone, you know. What was the, you know, biggest challenge as a single mom raising your child with autism?
I think I'll say that I think the biggest challenge is just the sheer amount of work that there is. So, for example, my son has a twin and she's neurotypical. I can tell her, hey, go brush your teeth or go take a shower, and she doesn't need my assistance. But with him, he always needs my help because of his apraxia. So it's just like having so much to do. You know, typically, you know, by 11, which is how old my twins are, they're doing these things for themselves, but it just adds to that, you know, workload. So there's that. And the mental load, of course.
I could see that. Yeah. You know, I'm not a single parent, but it would be hard.
Absolutely, yeah. I can piggyback off of what you said. I totally agree. Being solely responsible for everything is a lot, mentally and physically. Just knowing that you don't have that inside support. On the outside is something different, but when you do have that partner on the inside that can kind of give you that pat on the back, maybe some suggestions, because you're working hands on with each other, right, in-house. So just doing it alone, thinking alone, coming with the solutions, coming up with what's next, just everything. That has been like the biggest challenge for myself. Trusting myself to do the best that I could truly do, because sometimes we don't always know. So just trying to not fail and do it right and do it in order, do it on time. Those are like major challenges as a single parent.
Yeah. Okay. I very much can relate to the two ladies here. For me, it's honestly the hardest part is I am my daughter's core support, because she's with me the majority of the time. But it's also where I'm the one who primarily understands her. I'm pretty much the only one who is involved in her therapies, who is the go-to for school, and it's a lot. And then it's a lot because family hasn't always been very understanding about her autism, because she is high functioning. As you guys possibly have experienced, people see this diagnosis as basically like the sentence of death. Like, I hate to put it just so directly, but like, it's almost like when some parents take it very hard. And then when they see that their child is still high functioning, it's like, no, you're just trying to label them. But it's so much more than that. So it's really just, it's been, as a single mom for my child, it's been hard being her core support to really be supportive for her. Not necessarily what I want her to be or anybody else, but really be the mother that she needs me to be. And that's often what a lot of our special needs kiddos need from us. And it's hard. It's hard doing it, being the only person.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, it's hard being a mom. You know, sometimes I have a spouse, so I don't have, you know, insight. But I do a lot of stuff alone with my son, just because my husband has gone a lot. And so sometimes feels like I'm on my own.
Absolutely.
A lot. But, you know, he supports us in other ways because of that. So it gives me a little bit more free range to do some different things that I would not be able to do without his support.
Yes.
But sometimes those behaviors, they can get you, you know. And I know that you said about apraxia, and my son also has apraxia. So going through that and learning that new avenue sometimes can be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when you add it into everything else that you're doing, it's already a lot. And I think finding, you know, your right space, the people that you connect with, tribe.
Absolutely.
You know?
That perfect village.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, then also piggybacking from what you were saying originally, with I've keyed it in my head, like the repetitive nature of our routine. Because, for example, my daughter Aria, now that she's 10 and she's starting to understand how to communicate more, she has been expressing to her father and I that she wants to be more with me. And I know the reason why. It's not because she loves me more. No, it's her days with me and morning routines are a lot less stressful, because piggybacking from when you're just a moment ago, you saying like, you know, you have to be the reminder for your child. So every morning, my mornings are not quiet. Every morning, like we, I have her clothes laid out, but Aria also has ADHD. And so she gets very distracted in her stemming and her hyperactivity. So I have to, from the kitchen while making her breakfast, like, hey, Aria, how are you getting dressed? Oh, I'm still working on it. Hey, Aria, have you brushed your teeth? Almost. It's that repetitive routine that she does, that she needs still right now. We've not gotten to that point where I can just trust her to get completely dressed and all ready to go on her own. And that's what makes it very, like, hard, just even on the everyday morning. And then even in the evening, we've come a long way, but like I still have timers set where like she knows to get off her iPad when the timer goes off, because that's when dinner is going to be ready. Her dad doesn't have that structure. We joke around and we think he's a little bit on the spectrum too, and he understands. He gets very distracted as well. He thinks he could have ADHD as well, or ADD. So as being a single mom, it's hard, because while I feel like I should feel accomplished, I'm more like, okay, that's less of a break that I get, because I'm willing to admit that we need the breaks. We need the breaks when we can. Even being here to talk right now is a break.
Yeah.
So it gets challenging, but I commend us all, because our kids need us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think something else that's really difficult too is logistics of things. So my twin's dad, that he's involved, but they're with me 70% of the time. Now, why is that problematic? It's because, for example, next school year, my twins will be going to different schools. I thought they could go to the same middle school, but the school that we are zoned for does not have an ASD unit. So he can't go to that school. So he has to go to a different school. And so I have to think, oh my God, how do I get two kids to two different schools and then get myself to work on time and pick up? And that's on me most of the time, because the kids are with dad Wednesday evening and every other weekend. So all the other days I have to, and I'm still trying to figure out, okay, what time does this one get dropped off? And what time does this one get dropped off? And how can I get to both places and get myself to work? So just all that logistical stuff that most people don't have to think about.
Absolutely. Because they do come all the time. I mean, a lot of times you'll have a smooth road. Come that slow.
Yeah.
I was told by another a parent that deals with that, the same walk that we're walking. And I called her up because I needed help with something, and she reminded me, she brought to my attention that now I'm always reminded that we will always go through things. It'll be smooth, but we will have, you know, things that occur, and we just have to embrace it all. So the logistics are definitely a part of just that world.
Yeah.
So you have to put your thinking cap on. You don't know what you're going to do. You know, because I'm kind of like in a place right now where I'm trying to figure out what my next move is for certain logistics. So it is. It's like that. It's hard. Yeah.
It would be hard, especially not having another type of support.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of services out there. Like, let's just say logistics-wise, it's like getting somebody back and forth. There's not like an autism Uber.
Right,
there's not that type of company yet.
Yeah.
Maybe I've thrown it out into the universe out there. Hey, anybody want to take that on? You know, I mean, it could be very lucrative, because it could probably be billed through insurance.
Right.
There's a lot of transportation that's available through Medicare and the ACA market, and also into Medicaid. But again, that's a whole different topic.
I was going to say, I can get on that bed.
I mean, but it would be much beneficial too.
Yeah.
Logistics, even for all parents.
Yeah. And I mean, we're applying for an ESD bus for him, because he can't go to the local school, but it's still, I have to be there to get him on the bus, and then I have to be home when they drop him off. And it's like, okay, well, what time is that going to be? Because I have to get myself to work. So,
yeah.
It's a lot.
And I've been through that one as well. I mean, as I mentioned, like my kiddo, she's not in the public, she's not enrolled in a public school. And she's gone through three private schools. And thankfully, she's the last 2 years have been, she's been doing well at her current school. But when I first enrolled her at that school is in base, I kind of central St. Pete by Lilman. And at the time, I was living in Seminole, deep in Seminole. So you guys know that traffic difference. Yes. And the traffic out here is intense because of the school buses.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I was also, I've had to gear towards having, I mean, it's become a blessing from where I'm at today, but like I had to gear towards having a job that was understanding with my child and understanding with my circumstance, and also even taking pay cuts, and which is hard.
Absolutely.
Which is hard. It's turned into a blessing where I'm at today because I work within the field and I basically kind of have a flexible schedule and I'm available for my daughter. But that's the hard part that I've even come to a reality, and I've had even a discussion with my daughter's father, is I'm like, you know, it's very stressful for me because, for example, I'm a 1099. And I'm a 1099 because that gives, technically, I'm not an employee. I work full-time and I'm paid full-time, but I'm not an employee to my company. So that gives me the flexibility to not basically have a coordinated time. Now, I'm very fortunate where my boss and I, like, these are the hours that I primarily work. But for example, like I was telling you ladies, my daughter had a huge meltdown and nobody can calm her down at school the other day.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I don't have to report to anybody like and feel and be in fear of losing my job because something like that. I was able to just hop over to her school, help de-escalate the situation, get my daughter situated, and then hop right back over to work. But at the same time, it wasn't like that in the beginning.
Of course.
It took time for me to establish myself in this field. And then now I have the fear, and that's the part I've discussed with my daughter's father because of his line of work where he can pick, he has to pick up and go at times, where I've come to realize, well, I have to have this kind of job because if I become like, if I go back to government work, a W-2, and then I got to leave work and so on, then I got to be fearful of my job and not being able to support my daughter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she just, this is the first year she's been able to successfully be in aftercare and be in aftercare without a behavior technician because her aftercare is through the sheriff's department. So they don't allow outside providers because you got to have the sheriff's clearance. And you got to be basically their clearance and you got to be an employee to get that clearance. It basically, like, I have that fear of the single mom. Like, if I don't have, like, right now I have all my ducks in a row, but once one duck gets knocked out, I'm like, and my daughter's father's response is, well, you always figure out a solution. And then my response is, why am I the only one always figuring out a solution? You guys can you ladies can understand.
It shouldn't be just on you.
Yes.
And I think that's true of most women. It's always sort of like, well, you figure out, you organize your work day around it. Or for example, like I feel like I can't just take any job. I have to work around school hours because if not, then we've got to get childcare. And that's another expense. Now, I'm lucky that My kid's dad, he works from home. So if there's like a, and I work for the school system. So if I have to go in on a no student day, they can go to dad. But in general, it's very much like I have to take jobs that fit around my kid's schedule. And I think that's typical of women, even with neurotypical children.
Yep. So,
and I think it's something that the dads take for granted. Yeah. I do. I think it's like they can just take any old job and we can't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of goes back into, I mean, so I will say, I do speak about my daughter's father a lot, and we are a very strong today co-parents for our daughter. We've gone through a lot of history with each other, and basically going through everything we've gone through, like it's helped us be able to reestablish our co-parenting friendship / we do consider each other family now. And I'm very fortunate. I have thanked the Lord for that, because it would be even more difficult if we weren't beyond this civil. However, one thing he brought up to me, and I thought it was very fascinating, him bringing this up, was, you know, back in the olden days, women were the ones who took care of the children. And women, we provided the comfort, we provided the support, and the men worked. But there was a difference, though, and he brought this up, and I thought it was really inspiring. There was a difference between back then, though, because back then, women weren't expected, and not that, I'm not saying, by the way, I have to put a context here, not that I'm saying it should be this way, but it's just how the difference. Back then, women that weren't expected to, you know, help with the, or take care of the finances, have to work part-time, full-time, and so on. And that's how our world has evolved, because as you know, which I won't get into, politics have changed and this world has changed and our society has changed. And then also with inflation of being able the cost of living now, women and mothers particularly, that I'm speaking about, have to work, have to be the support system for our children, and have to be the ones, to, you know, provide solutions, and also when problems come, be able to delegate these problems if they and it wasn't so much back in the day.
Yeah, it's a huge mental load.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you're thinking about everything for everyone all of the time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not single, but I can definitely relate to that, because I'm also a 1099. I do, you know, I work in financial services. So since I work in the financial services, I do take care of my clients when I can in the nooks and crannies of my time. And I build everything out around my son's schedule.
Yeah.
Everything. And I mean, it's nice that I can work from home, but it also can be very stressful, because then when I take Zoom calls, I got to also make sure that, you know, he's not home, because some of the financial, even though he's nonverbal, there's laws that he cannot be in the room. I cannot have another person that's not licensed in the room, in my office. So it makes it hard for me to be able to, you know, do this job sometimes and be there. You know, sometimes I have to reschedule with clients, and they can't reschedule too many times.
That's true.
Unless they're in my, you know, I can disclose him being in there, and I try to just stay within our community, because I know, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to focus in our community, because they will understand. They will understand that he isn't going to be able to go into personal information.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because you guys know.
Yes.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think that leads us into another point, which is really good. You know, finding that support. Where have you found the most help? You know, was it family, community, you know, other services? And what would you tell other single moms?
So believe it or not, for me, I have, and if, sorry, family, for my relatives that are like that, if they ever hear this or see this, but I will say in my experience, community has been the strongest support. 'Cause even when we were still in California, our family wasn't very understanding and accepting of Aria having autism, because she's gifted. At 2 years old, Aria was identifying, she wouldn't say the words, but she would, like, she could point out her ABCs. 2 years old, 2.5, she was already starting to read. You could, if you knew how to understand her sounds that she would make, she 2.5 to 3 years old, she was already reading like little toddler books out. I have videos of it. So it was very problematic for me and Aria's father, because my parents, they were like, no, she doesn't have, like, when we got the diagnosis, like, there's nothing wrong with her. She is so smart. Like, you're just trying to label her. And that was a really big challenge, because that was in 2016, and a lot more studies have come out. Unfortunately, a lot more children are testing positive for developmental disabilities, and there's basically more education being provided to the communities where within the states, within the counties. But as we all know, it's hard already having a child because sometimes family doesn't support how you parent. And then, if you do have that dynamic with your family, then it becomes more challenging when you have a special needs child and they don't support your parenting and they don't support the way of life you're choosing for your child with special needs. Mm-hmm. And that's been a really big struggle for me with my daughter. And I have actually had the community, particularly out here in Pinellas County, even meeting you, Ruth. Like, when I met Ruth at We Rock the Spectrum, I think in 2021?
Yep. I think so.
It was either 21 or 22 early. But having a gym, even though it's a little gym, having a gym to be able to take your child to where your child's not going to be judged because they would have what's considered abnormal behaviors. Because I'm sure you ladies have experienced this. I can't tell you guys countless. My child was a toddler and she's having a meltdown because she's having a difficult time transitioning from the park. And she's like, the Hulk kind of strength, like pushing me off to not allow her to be put in the car seat. And then granted, the stranger probably meant well, but then a woman comes over, and this was at the time when I was married to my ex-husband, and she's like, do you guys need some help? And it's like, it's very frustrating because there's such a stigma in today, and it's with neurotypical and neurodiverse children, that like basically if you see a parent struggling with their child, they don't know how to take care of their child. And you don't know like the context and the details behind it. And so ever since I moved out here, which because I didn't know anybody and I was very determined to meet people, I put myself out here more because I didn't know anybody out here. And when meeting Ruth at We Rock the Spectrum, getting to talk with her and then other moms and realizing that, you know, we're not the only ones. And that's where I've connected the most. And I will say, I know people and their families. There are people and their families are very supportive. I have a friend where she has the exact opposite situation of me. She's a single mom, but her family is very supportive. And I tell her, I'm like, I am so happy you have that. Because that's something that I don't. And now Aria does have a support system out here that I've created. But again, it's majority of it is through the community. Mm. And because I've had such an experience of developing support through the community, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't know if you guys ever get that feeling. Like once all those ducks are in a row.
You would have to rebuild. You'll have to find a new community.
Yep.
Especially if you're like, let's say you move to a different state, you don't have any family in that state either. Yeah. And have to rebuild it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. So it goes back to, and I can speak for myself, I'm sure you guys feel the same way. My biggest support has definitely come from the community. I have so much love for Tiffany Towers with the Tequila Two Towers, Lavinia Mitchell, Isaiah's Village, Ruth, We Want the Spectrum, Shannon, I think her last name is Dunford, or Offer All. Mm-hmm. Just meeting other parents in these settings that can give you so much information and open so much more doors for you. Yes. And if I had to give any advice to anyone that's walking the walk that we're walking, reach out to the community, build a village with people that are walking the similar walks that we are, because that's going to be where your most help is going to come from. Of course, family is, it's all good. Family is family, but people that share the same experiences and fight the same fights and walk the same walks, it's just, they can relate better from my experience, and it has helped us so much. So it's great. That's been my biggest support, is the community.
Gosh, this has been difficult for me because none of my family even lives in this country. My ex-husband, none of his family live in this country either. So, and we've moved around a lot. I mean, we've been here solidly now for about 7 years. But before that, we were, I mean, the twins were born in England. Then we came to Austin for a few years. Then we came here. So it's hard to build community when you're moving around a lot as an adult. So, I mean, it's tricky as well, because in my line of work, I'm a school social worker and a therapist. So I'm talking to people all day long. So by the time my kids have gone to bed, I'm burnt out with talking to people. So even my friends, I don't talk to them. I might text them, but talking on the phone, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I'm burnt out and drained. So it's a little harder for me to socialize with people or build more of a community. I do have one amazing friend, like shout out to Sandra. She's there with my kids right now. And she's, you know, pretty much my village here, outside of, you know, my ex-husband. She's pretty much my village. And the advice I would give is, like, take the help. When people offer you the help, take the help. Because sometimes it's nice for them. Like, they're, it feels good to be altruistic. Like, I know we don't want to be a burden, and we don't want to, you know, take advantage of people. But if they're willing to help and they really want to, like, take the help.
And you know who really wants to help? I've met some great friends, like yourself, Kanika, her family. Oh man, just they just jump in, and but I met them through the communities. So if had I not, you know, been involved, it would just be, you know, like me and my boys.
So, kind of say what you're saying. So I also. I have a limited amount of like close friends. It's more so just because my schedule is hectic Monday through Friday, even on the weekends, because my daughter's father and I, we do outings on the weekends, but we usually do them when I'm able to be available, because even though it's...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
These days, again, it's a lot easier for him to manage and be able to connect with Aria when I'm present. But shout out to my girlfriend, Haley Golden. She actually ended up becoming an RBT because she got so fascinated and in love with my daughter. That's pretty much her aunt. And we go back and forth with each other because, like, she's the typical, I mean, she respects my parenting, absolutely, but she's a typical sweet aunt where she's like, you know, Aria can kind of do no wrong, and like, no, let's try this. And I'm like, and then I'm the same way with her child or her children. But like, she has just her family, her and her husband, are really like a big support system for me. Like, if I needed her to watch Aria today, she would have. She has called out of work with a previous job to watch Aria because I needed to be at something really important. And I was like, no, don't. She's like, I don't care. She's like, that's my girl. She's like, I'm gonna take care of her. Yes.
Yeah, it's nice to find those communities, you know, that you can actually rely on people. Because my husband and I, we're out here by ourselves too. We don't have any family here. His grandpa is going to be 100. And he lives in Venice Beach, okay? So
So sometimes I drive down there and I see him to say, hey, how are you doing? Yeah. Like, and then sometimes on the weekend we go down. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to be getting help from him, obviously.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
And it's like 2-hour drive, you know?
Yeah. It's not close.
Yeah. So we don't have any family here. So what we have built is our family that I have.
Yeah.
My friends, my community that I reach out to, because there's no other way you can do it. You have to have that community.
You have to. It is very, very, very important.
Yes. I'm definitely not shy.
No. You're like the extrovert and he's like the full on other side of the introvert. But it's, you guys are yin and yang.
Yeah. He's like, will you stop picking up people? I mean, to his defense, I will say one thing. I have friends from the airport that I still talk to that I met because they were standing beside me and they're like, hey, you want to switch numbers? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm that person.
That's all right.
He's like,
it's okay.
We were in Austin on a layover. And someone recognized me in the airport. He goes, can I take you anywhere? How in the world? I was like, yeah, I flew with them like 8 months ago.
Wow.
It was just random.
Yeah.
I was like, it's random. I was like, I'm not popular. It's just random.
You're popular.
Your community. Your community celebrity.
But that's what I tell my husband. I was like, it's not. You know, I call them random events.
Yeah.
Because what was the chances of me running into that person again at another
and
they remember me.
Mm.
Yeah. So let me ask this, because this is a hard one, even for people that have spouses, and especially as single moms, how do you manage the burnout? Yeah. You know?
I cry.
My oldest son, Kevin. Big shout out to my son, Kevin. He's my savior. Like, he gonna come through every time. He tells me when it's time. He's like, look, go home. I got you. So when it's time for those, you know, moments, Kevin always step in. He's my oldest son. He's 30. And he helps me in-house as much as he can. He gives me those breaks. That's where I get, like, my self-care on time. And also my pats on the back and encouragements and things of that nature. So that's who I can solely give my credit to. You know, other than flexibility, when I need to just take time, I give big shouts out to my job. They're very flexible. They work with me. They know my son. They get involved. I can take them to work with me if I need to. So that helps a lot. So between work and, you know, back home with my sons, I'm able to get some self-care time when needed. Okay. Not as much as I would like, but of course we all would like a little bit more. But you know,
we can get
some. Yeah, that's where mine comes in. So
My kids, like I said, they go to dad's girlfriend. Every other weekend, Wednesday evenings, and I just don't feel guilty for having a life. Like, I feel like lots of mums, when their kids aren't with them, just any mum that's divorced, I feel guilty, I should be with my kids and all of the things. I'm just like, no, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy somebody not waking me up at 5:30 in the morning and not having to take care of somebody else constantly. Absolutely. So I do that, and I travel without my kids like once a year, so... Yeah, so I do take my self-care.
Yeah, I love that.
Because you can't pour from an empty cup,
right? You cannot.
That's right.
Mm-mm.
You can't.
Yeah.
You got to recharge yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've been better. I will say for me, what's been very helpful these last few months, because I'm terrible in life about boundaries. It's actually something I've had to go work through in therapy with boundaries with family, with my daughter's father, with work. I'm that, because of my parents' mentality raising me was basically obedience. So I'm that person that, like, you know, I always want to like do my, I always want to do my best, and I always want to be the overachiever, and I'm not good about saying I'm about to explode. And for example, with my child, I have it in my head, I'm her mother. I have to be there, and I have to be the one, because like I'm so like because I'm so close with her and I know her so well, so I put that pressure on me. And what has basically been working for these past few months is I've been placing boundaries. So for like I've not gotten to be able to like for I'm not crazy at a gym nut, but and it's okay if anybody is. I wish I had the time to be, but I've on my daughter's Father's Days, or at least we'll exchange days now, because I'm like, hey, my goal is I like to go to the gym in these exercise classes 3 times a week if possible. And technically off of our custody time, I'm supposed to be able to make more than that. But because I have my daughter majority of the time, I at least hold him to like, hey, all right, I get it that you had something come up this day, but then this day, like, can you take her so I can make it to the gym in the morning, so I can make it to the gym after work? And then additionally, I will say I'm not I'll admit some days if I'm very overwhelmed, which happens every so often, I have cry. I have a cry. And I do have, I have friends, Ruth, Haley, and or even, because I miss home a lot. My family and my, like, friends growing up are all back home, I'm sure, as you can experience. Mm-hmm. So I'll text my tribe and be like, I need somebody. And I will cry it out. And I've actually felt better doing that, because not saying that everybody should do that, but because again, life gets to be an overload.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I will even say props to my daughter's father. Even sometimes he will give me, an hour of his time to just vent. And even if I'm venting at him about him, he's been better. So like my biggest thing is placing boundaries in my life, so I have balance for myself, so I could be a better mom and I could be a better person and I could be healthier. And then also I just sometimes cry it out. Not saying that like that's a bad thing.
Yeah, of course not. Whatever works best for you and your family.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, crying it out. Sometimes I do that. I have, like, ugly cry. I'm like, ah! You know, like, where your face is, like, all messed up. Yeah. I value a good cry.
Yeah.
But I definitely can relate, too, about family. My family all lives in Ohio, and all my friends, I grew up in Ohio. And, you know, sometimes it's hard. Yeah. You don't have your family close or your friends that you grew up with, and they know you because they grew up with you, you know? So even if you're not, like, close to them, they're still kind of, like, feel what's going on with you. And then, like, you get a text and you're like, yeah, I'm having a bad day. It's because you're connected.
Yeah,
to them,
that's
you know?
So true.
So I do get that. And I'll text my friends and family and, like, say, hey, how you doing? Yeah.
Just checking in.
Yeah. Just because, you know, it's hard out here.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think that's why the community, though, is the big key, you know, building...
Yeah.
Your community.
Yeah. I feel
for
that.
The right purpose.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Ruth, even what you've created, I mean, today, 3 women have now met other women.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, this is even something. And so, like, even with the community that you've put together within the community, it's a great support system.
Yeah.
I didn't have, again, all the ducks in a row, honestly, until within this last year. Actually, no, more within these last few months, because my job even changed. But, like, because here in Florida, it's such a struggle to be able to get support for our special needs kiddos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not enough providers to even diagnose the children.
That's true.
You have family, parents that are waiting and caregivers 6 months to a year or more to just get a diagnosis. And for me, I have high anxiety of like having anything that I have going on put in place with my daughter interrupted. Because my daughter's father will like ask like, hey, well, what do you think about maybe like exploring like North Carolina? I'm like, nope. And I was like, well, because like My daughter, like the therapy company that she's with now, her BCBA is wonderful. And I have signed off, like, unless, like, I need, like, for example, the other day instance where I needed to be there to calm her down. But unless, like, I actually need to come and, like, assist with her, her teacher now, the school, her, and I've signed off, the teacher and her school communicate with her BCBA. Her BCBA pops over in 15 minutes to help assist the RBT. And I don't dread seeing the school's phone number pop up on my phone anymore. Like, it used to pop up 2-3 times a week minimum. And, you know, your heart just drops.
Yeah.
Especially when you see it.
Yeah.
So true.
And that, so, like, the fact that, like, I have that kind of support system now with her therapy company, I'm like, it's almost like, some people could maybe consider that maybe an unhealthy relationship and being dependent off of a provider.
I get it.
But get it. I'm like,
But when they're good providers, you know, you don't want to lose them.
Yeah.
Lose that.
I know. Did we lose somebody's camera?
Mine says reconnecting.
Okay. All right.
Oh, you know, there she is.
That doesn't show. It just it showed like you're on camera, but you are.
Oh, I don't know.
On hers, it does.
Oh,
yeah.
So I've been watching it.
I don't know why. Reason,
but it's still recording.
Cool.
Okay.
But yeah. Like, and that's also, like, another community support. Because, for example, and that's what, like, with my company, what we strive for is we strive to still, yes, we to be a support system for our clients, our kids, families, and caregivers. We're not just a provider that, you know, you're one of our clients, we provide therapy and we bill. Because that's a big stigma that comes off also in providers, especially with children with special needs, is you almost feel like you're another number.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I've gravitated towards being out here, because I'm like, you know, I'm in a field and I'm in with a company that these children are not numbers to us.
Right.
And because I have a child who is diagnosed with diagnoses like these, like our clients, I can relate. And that's what I've really gravitated towards is this community out here is because, you know, as we mentioned before, not all parents know what avenues to take and steps to take to find the support and system. I've had families cry on the phone to me, which honestly, every so often I tear up with them because they're like, their insurance company didn't tell them that they need a formal comprehensive diagnostic evaluation. And they're like, yeah, they said that I have ABA coverage. I'm like, but of course, families don't know the specific.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Words to use with insurance companies.
Yeah.
And they're not going to divulge what you need to have for this coverage to be provided. And I've had families just be crying, and I'm like, okay, hold on a second. So would you like to see if we could find a doctor to... Yes, but they all have wait lists. But because me and my boss, my CEO, we work to basically, like, you know, talk with... neurologist or psychologist offices and like, what's your guys's weight? What's your system on a wait list? Or what insurances do you take? We have two that we call over, and more than often I get I'm able to get the family schedule an appointment because we've done that research. And then I'm like, okay, so right now we got you an appointment scheduled. They could call you if they get a cancellation. So just always keep your phone. Just save their phone number. And then from there, you're going to be on our wait list. Once you get the diagnostic evaluation report, then we can go on to the next step. I've had families like be so emotional just to have that little amount of support. And it's a lot because but it, at the same time, it's a little bit. Yeah. And it's just so disheartening that not everybody's this supportive.
Yeah.
Like some companies are just like, oh, you don't have a diagnostic valuation, well, you got to go find a doctor, go get one.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of them are.
That's, I was going to say, that's the norm. I feel like I've experienced that be the norm.
But that's what this, but that's what like my feeling is, like what this community out here has done, at least for me, is I'm like, I have the skills to be able to provide this knowledge and support to families. And because I know what it's like of even like, there's been times where I don't even have the answer, but because I have because I have friends like Ruth, connections and people to call, I can get those answers provided to me, but not all, but majority of parents and caregivers can't. So that's why, like, again, like the community, just like the community support is so important.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things that I focus in, you know, within my community. I want to make sure that it's informing. I want to make sure that I'm sending out good information for you guys. And I want anybody that has any information to share it within our community. And I think that's, you know, renaming it to Your Autism Journey, I think it's been more beneficial for people to be able to look it up, first of all, because I felt like before the group name was kind of hard to find. And just having that knowledge out there, too. And, you know, because you and I, you know, our sons do spelling to communicate.
Yes.
And yeah. I love that. And yeah. I know Brenham was doing it before Elijah started.
Yeah, Bram started, gosh, when I think he was 7. So I think that's been like the biggest thing for our family, is to know that he understands everything and he's really smart. He just can't tell you. He has to tell you on the board. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love spelling to communicate. I wish more parents, I know it's difficult because it's a privilege to be able to afford it. I mean, yes. Luckily Bram's dad takes care of that. But
you do know that there's a special grant. Yeah.
You have to tell me more about that.
There's a special grant. I just applied for Elijah. You have to be over 7.
Okay.
And there's another one that you have to be over 10.
Okay. So I will look at those. But yeah. I wish everybody had access to that, everyone with a nonverbal child, because it's been so life-changing for us.
Yeah. Not only about the communication piece, but for my son, regulation. How about?
Yes, absolutely. It helps to regulate and it lets them have a voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let them know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if there was anything that you would like to leave our listeners, you know, one message that you wish that someone would have gave you, what would it be?
Patience is the biggest thing that I have found that when I say patience, like patience with your child, because patience with children in general is important, but with a neurodiverse child, like, because when people see Aria, they're surprised that she has autism. They usually, they're like, oh yeah, ADHD, that makes sense, but they're surprised that she has autism. But if they knew where she started at 18 months to where she is today, because people get surprised when I tell them, like, there was times where Aria would be crying from meltdown all morning, all night, all morning. I'd have less than an hour of sleep. Sometimes when she was a toddler, I couldn't calm her down without getting her into the shower with my clothes on. I had to pick her up and she's trying to squirm and everything because she's just having this intense meltdown. And I'd have to, no joke, get the shower on, get us both in there. And then the water was just, water has always been very calming to her. She would just slowly snap out of it. And then I would be in the shower, no joke, crying. Because, like, I'm wondering, like, because this was when she was a toddler, and I'm like, okay, is this my life going forward? And then there's other challenges. So the biggest thing I've learned is patience and faith, having faith in your child. Because there are parents out there, you know, they look to providers because they want you to cure their kid. They want you to fix their kid. I've heard those two words.
When are they going to be fixed? I've heard parents say that
yeah.
to people while I'm waiting in the waiting room. So I'm like, they're not gonna be fixed. They're gonna always have it. Mm-hmm. You know, it will evolve and it will grow. Mm-hmm. Just like we're not the same when we were two.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the same when we were 10 or 15 or 20 or 25. We're not the same. You know, we all grow and evolve.
But with having that, but with having that patience and faith, that also means that, like, in ABA therapy, which is the field that I work in, the most success I've seen with children and their progression and their development is the parents being actively involved. So the parents utilizing their parent training, utilizing basically what the skills that are being taught to their child, because this is a different way of looking at a medication. These skills that are being taught to the children, if it's basically medication, it's just you're not ingesting it. But if you're not following these same skills that are being taught to the children and you just expect therapy to just fix them themselves, and I hate using that word, your child's not going to progress as much as they can. As we all notice, for majority of our children, routine is very, very important. And so that brings me back to patience and faith, because if you truly have faith in your child, then your child's going to reciprocate, wanting to, you know, not reciprocate, but your child's going to want to respond to that support that they're getting from you. And that's the biggest I've seen with Aria. Is like, I've seen the difference in when she's had a teacher who's incredibly supportive and when she has a teacher who just wants her to be obedient. Like, she's gone uphill when she has the right support. And then she trickles down or even stays in just one stuck area when that support system isn't there. So that's my biggest thing is having parents and caregivers like have patience with your children.
Yeah.
Because their behaviors can be intense. They're going and that's another struggle for, I mean, Ruth, you were just, Justin, when Elijah was trying to come in right before, Justin was like, oh, he got you. And I was like, oh, and he's like, yeah, it's a little red on your neck. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, it's fine. I was like, it's nothing. But Aria's had intense behaviors and people look at our kids like they're just being disobedient. For an example, to calm my daughter down, yes, I had to give her a sucker, not because I'm just trying to, you know, mask her behavior with a sweet. No, because I need her to focus on the sucking because it helps soothe and calms down. Exactly. And a lot of people don't understand that.
That's why I haven't broken my son from thumb sucking, because he uses it too much to regulate his nervous system. I'm like, if I break that, what is he going to substitute that with? So I'm like, okay, do I live with the thumb sucking for now? Yeah.
That's an angle.
Because, it ain't a thing but a thing, right?
That's something.
So I'm like, let him be him. Mm-hmm. And let him walk that. But I think that faith and, you know, patience are definitely key.
I would say advice is for the child, early intervention. Just the minute you think something's going on, persist with that until you get some clarity. Also, presuming competence, especially if your child is nonverbal, presuming that they understand everything, because they do, they just can't respond to it. And for yourself, self-compassion. Like, we're not perfect, nobody's parenting perfectly. And when we get it wrong, which sometimes we might, just having that self-compassion, when we feel like we're not doing enough, when we feel guilty, because, for example, we can't afford to put them in every single therapy you want them to be in, just having that self-compassion.
And I agree with everything that was said. And if I had to say anything, it would be to embrace it all. We all know that it's hard. We all know what we're dealing with for the most part. We know what we can do and what we can't do. We know it feels good sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. So just take it all and embrace it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's such a hard journey for ourselves, you know. This is why I named the podcast Finding Your Identity In, not on. Mm-hmm. Because we're in this.
Absolutely.
We're
in this. It affects the mother. It affects the father. If you have siblings, it affects the siblings. Mm-hmm. It affects everybody involved.
Yeah.
And perspectives are going to look different, you know? And I think by having these roundtable events will help us maybe even hear some of those different perspectives from different individuals, because I think it's so needed, because voices are being lost within our community that, and maybe sometimes they don't feel safe to have their voice to be heard. That's what I think.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I went through a grieving period.
Of course.
Because I had an image.
You have expectations of what mm-hmm. they'll be. Like I thought, oh, he's going to play basketball and he's going to do this. And he does none of the above.
Yep. And then like, you know, because you have twins, mm-hmm. you know, and I know they're not identical, but, you know, doing the whole matching thing and, you know, some of those things are going out the window.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's, and then, like you said, it's okay to be where you're at.
Yeah.
It's okay. Be in the moment. Be in the present moment. Be with them. Be with yourself.
Yeah.
Be live with yourself. Better be with yourself, right?
Be with yourself.
Yeah. So, guys, again, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on to the show today. Thank you so much. Regina, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stina, for coming on the show today.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you, Elizabeth, for coming on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Wow, that was a powerful roundtable. These voices, these stories, they're reminders that all are on a path of, you know, becoming their own. As you take in what we shared today, I want to leave you with this. The Heavenly Father sees you and your child. He sees you. He sees your journey. He sees the twists and the turns. And there's a purpose. There's a purpose to everything that comes in your life. You just have to embrace it. So thank you for joining us on Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey. If this episode touched you, share it with someone who needs it. And if you're not already connected with our community, come and join us over at Your Autism Journey on Facebook, where real conversations meet, you know, faith and advocacy and love. And until next time, keep showing up, keep speaking up, and always remember, we rise together.